Reformed Church.
I just want to read something to you from Proverbs 9, just real quick. Proverbs 9. This is not the full thought, but I'll just give you a little bit of a snippet of something that I was just thinking about. The broader thought is really cool, but I won't tell you the whole. But I'll give you a small little thing of what I think is really important. This not only was something that the Lord showed me, but this is also something that there was a particular point recently where I saw the application of this really, really well, and I was able to use it too. But I'll just say this. Usually, the way that we are drawn, just if we're being natural, is to share the gospel with the people that need it the most. And funny enough, that is not the way that you should be sharing the gospel with people who need it the most. It's kind of like food. You just would, you know, think, okay, if you've got someone that's starving over here and someone that just had a meal 3 hours ago, you'd feed the starving person first. But that's not the way the gospel goes. You don't give the gospel to the people that need it the most. You give the gospel to the people that receive it the most. That is so important. You don't give the gospel to the people that are the most lost. You give it to the people that listen the best. That is a total 180 to the way that people typically minister. And again, I could even give you a little example where I applied this recently. I don't have time to do that necessarily, but God wants us to minister the gospel where people are the best listeners, because they're good ground for the seed that you're sowing. And just so you know, being a good listener does not mean you have to be even mature in the gospel. You could not be saved and be a good listener. In fact, you had to be a good listener to get saved. Okay? So I'm not saying that only or primarily speaking to the best listeners means that you're always talking to people that are necessarily saved. Now, granted, most of the people on earth, I would assume, that are the best listeners are people that are already saved. But the point is just people that are receiving your word the most. There are a lot of people that really need the word of God, and they're struggling. And there is what we would call sympathy, but it's really just human sympathy. Just, you know, there is a kind of sympathy that you can feel that is not godly. Not all sympathy is equal. And sometimes you can see someone that's going through stuff in their life, people that you know have a huge deficit of the gospel, they need the word of God, they're suffering through stuff, and that may not be the person that God wants you to speak to. Because God himself cannot get through to them if they won't receive his word. That's a whole other teaching, but that is an accurate way to say it. God cannot. There are plenty of places in the Bible where it says that God or Jesus cannot. So, you know, if sometimes people don't like the word cannot when it comes to God, because they think that you can't reconcile an all-powerful God with the word cannot, but you absolutely can do that. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 said that Jesus could not do many mighty miracles. And the word could not is the word could not. But anyhow, God cannot get through to people if they're not willing to receive his word. They have that choice to receive his word. And so the same thing would, of course, apply to us as well, that just because someone is in a deficit of the word of God doesn't mean that's the person that God wants you to speak to. And just because someone's struggling through something doesn't mean that's the person that God wants you to minister to. Proverbs 9:8 is a quick way to put this. Proverbs 9:8, it says, "Reprove not a scorner." Now, if you just pause, I could dwell on this for a real long time, but reprove, this is, you know, it's basically saying don't correct a scorner. Now, a scorner is someone that would kind of mock at the gospel, or someone that, you know, arrogantly would kind of shove it to the side. But this is basically talking about someone that wouldn't receive it. And there are people that you shouldn't correct with the gospel. There are people. Now, sometimes you may be in a situation where someone says something, you know, about the Lord, and maybe you just voice the truth, even if it's just for your own benefit. Sometimes you need to do that. But as far as actually going out of your way to correct somebody, there are people that you shouldn't even correct. And if anybody is in need of the gospel, it would be a scorner. They don't receive the gospel. And they have a deficit of the gospel, and it says, don't correct them. There are people you shouldn't, this is going to sound weird to some people, but there are people that have had opportunity with the gospel that God is not going to lead you to minister to. And just because someone doesn't receive the gospel at first doesn't mean they're a scorner. We all needed time to cozy up to it and warm up to the idea. But there are people that are scorners and that are not going to receive what you say. So he says, don't reprove them. But look at this. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning. I'm telling you what, that is totally different than what people would typically do. If you see a wise man, people would not typically go out of their way to encourage a wise man. And this is the person that God is telling you to correct. This is the person that God is telling you to instruct a wise man, and he'll be wiser. Because you know why he's wise to begin with? It's because he received the word of God. That's important. When you see good ground, focus your attention and your seed and your discipleship and your ministering on people that receive the word of God. I won't give you the whole thing, but there was just a recent time. It was during service, and I was thinking about someone to minister to. I felt like God wanted me to tell someone something, and I was kind of looking around, and then, you know, you can talk to a new person you could talk to. And there was somebody that I wouldn't have even thought the Lord, I kind of just even discounted the Lord would even want me to talk to this person, because they're someone that knows the Word of God really well. And it turned out, basically, that's the person that God wanted me to talk to. And I passed by everybody else, and I talked to this person, and I'm like, all of a sudden the Lord brought things back to my remembrance that God had told me something about this person a few days previous. And it's funny, because I just started shooting the breeze with this person. In my looking around, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to talk to? You know, most everybody had left, and I was just talking to this person, just shooting the breeze, like not even kind of doing ministry, just shooting the breeze. And then while I was shooting the breeze, totally discounting that this person might even be the candidate, the Lord brought to my remembrance, and I got that feeling again, oh man, I need to tell this person something. And that was the person. And so I just instructed a wise man. And that's that. We pass people up because you're already full of the gospel. You don't need any more. No, no, no. They're full of the gospel because they received the word of God. And if you want to encourage somebody, encourage someone that you know is doing the right thing and receiving the gospel. And you know what? Man, there's just so much I can say. I'm going to fill too much time. But I would just leave you with that. I'll leave you with that. That it's not always just someone who already is full of the gospel. It's just people that are good listeners, people that will receive what you're saying. But we spend so much time trying to teach people that won't hear us, we're leaving out people that you could be encouraging. And you're going to get the best bang for your buck when you sow seed in someone that is good ground and willing to hear you, because you're going to get the most fruit out of their life, and that means they're actually going to be, you're encouraging them and equipping them to even minister to other people. You're multiplying yourself. So now it's not just you over here with a person that's really being stubborn, and you spend all your time trying to minister to this person, minister to this person, minister to this person. And by the time you're done ministering to that person, you could have encouraged like 1,000 other people that would have received it, and they could have then multiplied to 1,000 other people on top of that, and we could have had, you know, all the temple built, so to speak, and the elect saved, and Jesus would have been back, but we're over here busy hanging out with people that aren't really going to receive our word. I know it's we would call it sympathy to say, well, everybody needs the gospel, and everyone does need the gospel, but you're forgetting the other piece. Not everybody receives the gospel. That's the important piece there. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Elijah wasn't led to every single widow when in 1 Kings. He was led to a specific widow, and just have God, you know, show you, you know what? Show me who will receive this word. I got a word right here, Lord. Show me who will receive it, and invest your time in discipleship with those people the most. Even if they're already full of the gospel, they can know the gospel more than you do. And that person very well may be your best investment for the word of God. Because, you know, again, there's a reason why the wise man is wise. It's because he receives it.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.